California. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
Ooh, it's a hot one out there. Good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. We've got intern Nathan in today. You able to get outside and do anything in this like 114 degree heat or whatever the hell this is, Nathan?
The only thing I was able to do is get in the pool today, Corey.
That's okay. You got a pool. Okay.
Grandparents got a pool, so I went up there. So we hung up there for a little bit. So
all right,
it was nicer.
That's good. If you're in the pool, you're not worried about what it feels like, right?
Not at all. Except getting burnt. So that's the only thing I'd be concerned about in the pool. So.
All right, we've got a lot to discuss today. 946-0435. You want to join us? Anything that's on your mind in the world of sports? Young Nathan picked the Mavs to win the series. For God's sake, that was a terrible pick, man.
Yeah,
come on,
it's a terrible pick. Looking back on it, you know.
Why? Look, we're going to talk a lot of NBA Finals today. This is really our last chance to go with the NBA. Why did you think going into the series the Mavs had that kind of chance?
I didn't think the Celtics could win. I thought the Celtics would, you know, just shoot themselves in the foot. I didn't think they were going to be able to put it all together for four complete games. Like last night was just a clinic of why they are the best team in the NBA. I mean, their defense was smothering. I think that's the one thing I got out of the series. Their defense is so good. I mean, if they played on ball every single possession, I mean, they were able to shut down the Mavericks time after time, and then they were just, their ball movement's elite. They're just finding the open guy. And then when you have guys drain half-court shots at the buzzer, too, that sure does help. So,
we will take your phone calls. I want to thank Jerry in Bellwood. I'll give a shout-out to Jerry. He started calling in a few weeks ago, like when the Nuggets were playing the Wolves, talking NBA playoffs. And we've had a pretty nice run over the last few weeks of some NBA discussion. We have not always had a lot of NBA talk on the show, but the Celtics went 64-18 during the regular season and then beat the Heat in five, beat the Cavs in five, swept the Pacers, beat the Mavs in five. They were 16-3, for God's sake, in the NBA playoffs. So their record this season was 80-21. 80-21 was their record. So I watched the Celtics a good 10 to 12 times this year. And outside of like a two-week stretch, close near the end of the regular season, a month or so to go, where the Celtics really looked disheveled for a little while, they were just phenomenal. To me, the Celtics, am I saying these are as good of stars as what the Warriors had with Steph and Durant and Klay? Not necessarily. But in terms of team basketball, these Celtics reminded me of what I grew up watching. Team basketball. Not Allen Iverson taking over everything during that horrid era of the NBA from the late 90s to the early 2010s or whatever. That was terrible basketball. That was all ISO basketball. A lot of people hate basketball now. I hate the NBA now because it's a lot of three-pointers. UConn, back-to-back national champions in college, they play phenomenal team basketball. I'd say like Wisconsin, your traditional Wisconsin kind of team passing the basketball. I thought this Celtics team, again, not necessarily, you know, the greatest team ever, they went 80-21, including 16-3 of the playoffs. That, to me, was an extremely impressive team. Not just Luka and Kyrie, but an overall team.
Absolutely. This team is very, very deep. I mean, the Celtics team, top to bottom, I mean, they had Porzingis coming off the bench last night. I know he was, you know, a little bit injured, but that just shows you that they trust a guy like Al Horford, Tatum at the four, stuff like that. So, I mean, they're a very, very deep team. Everybody knows their role on the team. You know, Derek White's like, hey, guess what? Play great defense, stand at the three-point line. We'll find you some open shots. You can hit him in the corner, you can hit him at the top of the key, whatever. It doesn't matter. You know, he stepped up. Yeah, Drew Holiday, man, I saw something on Instagram this morning. This guy might be a Hall of Famer. I mean, Drew Holiday is one of the most underrated players in a long time in the NBA. He does not get the respect he deserves. Two-time champion now.
I ran into a big Celtics fan earlier today. He said he thought Drew Holiday should have been the MVP. No, so I couldn't quite go that far.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown was very, very good this
series. But the way he made it seem was, you know, Drew Holiday runs that team.
Yeah, he definitely contributed to them in the finals for sure. He was definitely a big piece that got brought in and, you know, kind of glued it all together there. Him, Horford, is this his last run? I don't know, but he did exceptional in the playoffs. Then, of course, Hauser coming off the bench was great. There was a lot of guys, Pritchard. I mean, this team, top to bottom, is stacked. So, you know, clearly the best team all year. I don't even know why I picked against them. It was a bad decision, but very, very good team, and probably one of the better teams to win a finals in the last 10 years.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I want to welcome in my buddy Rob, because you weren't here yesterday, Nathan. I said the Celtics are going to kick their ass yesterday. Okay. I picked them by 14. I said that 6.5-point line, mm-hmm. that's like bet your mortgage on it. There were the two – hey, Rob, the two – best sports bets I've seen, like, in the last 6 or 8 months were game one of this finals, like Celtics 5.5, and then this game, Celtics 6.5. I mean, I if I had 10 grand lying around, which I don't, I'd have put 10 grand on the Celtics yesterday. I felt so. I picked them by 14. I thought they could win by 25, mm-hmm. and they were up a good bit like that.
Yeah.
What do you make of people still thinking Dallas had a shot yesterday?
I thought that it's people grasping for that comeback story that we just have to have like 17 times a year. Wishful thinking. I wasn't surprised I picked Dallas to win game four. I picked the whole damn series. I'm going to pat myself on the back. I had all five games. I had Celtics in five. I crushed it last night. I had Drew Holiday 10-plus points. That was a cinch. Jaylen Brown with a three-pointer. These are low-hanging fruit bets. Celtics over 103 points. I mean, it was just there for the taking. You mentioned some classic gimme lines. Nothing will top the Brett Favre father dying game at Oakland, -3. I was trying to get through school at the time, so I was taking bets. I got my clock cleaned, and I sat there and enjoyed every minute. I was just there to get beat up for that. But
what's the statute of limitations on admitting you're taking bets?
22 years ago, I think I'm in the clear.
I don't know.
I ended up getting lost for that year, I think. So what am I going to pay back? Am I going to pay taxes on my losses?
Bedford PD going to be showing up at your door. So we understand you were taking sports bets 22 years ago.
How dare you, young man? We're going to feed yourself while you were in college.
I don't think they can audit your taxes at this. Can they? I don't know how long you can go back after taxes.
I don't need the IRS on my back. No, thank you. I don't know. As far as the Jaylen Brown, I'm a big fan of, and he was tremendous in the series. I thought it either should have been Tatum's MVP or co-MVPs. They haven't done that in a while. Did Shaq and Kobe win a co-MVP, or maybe that was the All-Star game? I don't know.
I don't remember. I don't remember a co-win.
Tatum had multiple 30-point games, and twice he was one rebound or one assist shy of a triple-double. It's kind of his team. I do love Jaylen Brown, don't get me wrong. But just I thought Tatum impacted that series everywhere. And Drew Holiday, I have no problem with him getting into the Hall of Fame. I don't know what Milwaukee was thinking not hanging on to him. That guy is an integral part of a team's success. He does all kinds of little things that don't necessarily show up, but he's a grinder. Pritchard had a couple of crazy shots in the postseason. I think he had multiple half-court shots at the buzzer somewhere in the 20-game stretch. But
I think he had one.
I think Horford will be back. Horford's still an incredibly effective player, being 17, 18 years in the league.
He's 38 years old. 38 years old. That's you can still
Didn't
play.
He was on either one or two of those championships.
I think he was on both.
Under Billy Donovan.
I think he was on both of them. Him and Joakim Noah, and our guy Kyrie Irving, he just did not have
that front row seat. He had that seat, Corey.
He did not have an all-around game.
He plays in spurts. Like, he'll get hot and have a couple of nice shots.
Nathan's over there shaking his head. Now, that was not as good as when I said he was going to fall flat.
That was good. That was good.
That was a good one. This was a little bit of a stretch, but Kyrie Irving, I just had a sense he was going to crap the bed last night. Look, Luka scored 28, only 2 of 9 from three. We could go on and on about how the Celtics are just a better team, period. But if Kyrie is going to show up there and look that bad, they're not going to have a chance.
He sure didn't show out the way he did in the 2016 finals. LeBron was monstrous that series, but Kyrie did hit that shot with about 55 seconds left when both teams, the Warriors and the Cavs, I think there was like a 2-minute lull of no points in that game. But and before I go, yeah, you mentioned that horrible era of basketball. The only thing that I remember that was great, and my was it great, was that Laker dynasty that almost four-peated. Think of that, four-peated. They lost in the finals to the Pistons in 04. Karl Malone's body broke down. Gary Payton as well. They had a really good year. They just crapped out in the end. But, man, the Pistons were so boring to watch. I mean, as entertaining individually as they were on that team, and Rip Hamilton is the closest off-the-screen mover I've ever seen other than Reggie Miller. But that was back when scores were like 78-75. It was like Virginia basketball at the pro level.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Appreciate the call. 946-0435. I know a buddy of mine who's a big Warriors fan. He was texting me about how great that Warriors team was 6 or 7 years ago with Steph and KD. And we were talking a couple weeks ago. You think, just so my buddy who's a Warriors fan realizes this, Nathan thinks that the Warriors could have beaten the Bulls from
absolutely.
The 90s, right?
Absolutely. So, I'm big on that Warriors. I think it's the best team of all time. Even though they didn't win the finals, I think that is the best roster of all time.
I need you to call in, Mike. I can get 15 minutes here if you got. I don't know how busy you are, but we got a lot of stuff we can get to because I'd love to pick your brains on the Warriors versus the Bulls, depending on what set of rules you're playing. Jerry, what's up, man? How you doing?
Oh, good. You know, I heard an interesting statistic that both Michael Jordan and Larry Bird were older than or just maybe the same age as Tatum when they won their first championship. And I remember back when, especially when Michael Jordan was playing, until he won that first championship, they were kind of saying the same stuff about him as they said about Tatum.
I remember it very clearly. He was just – let me say this. I think they were kind of saying the same stuff, maybe a little bit of a stretch here, but about like Doncic as well. Because Jordan could just score on anybody at any time. And he was a great player, but he didn't have the pieces around him. If Doncic has better people around him, and then Kyrie Irving actually showing up and playing, that might have been a little bit of a better series. But you're right, Jordan took a lot of grief in the mid to late 80s when he was scoring 35 a night. But you know, that's kind of why people say until Scottie Pippen came along, that's what it took to get them over the hump.
Yeah, if you think about NBA champions. I can't think of a team that won the championship that didn't play great team ball. Can you?
Well, look, with all due respect to the Warriors dynasty, I don't think they necessarily played great team basketball. I think they played great team defense, and I think offensively they were just unbelievable shooters. Now, again, I got a lot of different ways I could go with this because I got a buddy whose favorite team has always been the Warriors, and we can discuss that. And I've got mad respect for the Warriors. I would at least acknowledge Nathan's point that the Warriors could give the Bulls every bit of a great series. And if they played in modern rules, maybe the Warriors win that series. If they play in the 90s rules, this is where I disagree with now. I think the Bulls win that series. But I mean, to me, I watched a lot of those words. I don't necessarily think that they played the kind of tremendous team basketball. I think that Steph and Clay were just so good. KD was so good. They were tremendous defensively, don't get me wrong. But offensively, I don't know. Maybe I'm misremembering. I just felt like they were such an offensive juggernaut, you know, with the greatest shooter of all time, and they could just light people up.
Well, see, I thought they did play great team ball. I remember watching them and think that was one of the things that really impressed me because they had such great players, and I still thought they played great team ball. The other thing I was impressed with the Celtics is their great defense. You know, when I say their great defense, I'm talking about not just the other players, but Brown and Tatum played tremendous defense. And that kind of reminded me of Michael Jordan, you know.
When your stars play defense, you set the tone and everybody's great. What does Luka do when he misses a shot? He's bitching at refs while everybody else is getting back playing defense. You ever see Michael Jordan do that? I mean, LeBron does it a lot. I think we talked about LeBron the other day.
Yeah.
LeBron does that stuff a lot. And again, it's 30, 40 years ago. I don't remember MJ ever just standing there while they got a 5-on-4 break going the other way because he's too busy crying to referees.
Yeah. So anyway, Celtics were the best team from the beginning of the season to the end. It was kind of fitting that they won. But, you know, they were the Celtics, and so a lot of us Celtics fans were on edge. When I say they were the Celtics, they were the Tatum Brown Celtics who had struggled in the past. But the thing is, that's what happens in the NBA. It's very few times that a team comes out of nowhere to win the championship. They normally have to pay their dues in the NBA. That's a very common thing.
And they've done that. Hey, Jerry, I want to thank you. You're the one that got this ball rolling, calling about the Nuggets and the Timberwolves all the time. So thanks for getting the ball rolling with the NBA discussion.
All right.
Hey, before we get caller number two, who's a big Celtics fan, what do you think? Tatum is 26. I'm looking up Jaylen Brown's age. I mean, are we talking about, I'm not going to necessarily say back-to-back, three or anything like that, but could they win, Jaylen Brown's actually older, he's 27, could they win three or four here in the next 5 or 6 years? They keep the nucleus together.
I mean, yeah, if they can keep it together,
they're
definitely
in the East as well.
I don't think they'll have a problem getting there. The problem was, I don't think they played the best team in the West this year. I think the Mavericks were not the best team to come out of there. I think there was probably three or four teams that might have been better than the Mavericks. And I think the Mavericks kind of just squeaked through. They got every break their way. And that's why I don't think the Mavericks are going to be back for a while. It's going to be a bit for the Mavericks to get their back unless they can rebuild that team in a better way. But, the Celtics, man, I mean, they have a good roster. Like I said, I think Horford might be done. I think that's a big piece if they lose him. But Porzingis, if they can keep him healthy on the court, that's a good piece right there. You know, they have a lot of young players as well. I mean, if they can keep this team together, you know, if they can get Drew on there, there's a lot of positive, and you know, I think they're only going to need to really replace that center position, but I'm sure they can find someone to either step up or they can bring someone in the offseason.
All right, get this. This is amazing. In one draft, the Sixers had the number one pick, and they took Markelle Fultz.
2017.
And the Lakers had the number two pick.
Lonzo Ball.
And they took Lonzo Ball. And the Celtics had the number three pick, and they took Jason Tatum. So that's the Sixers and the Lakers. Okay. Another draft, the Sixers had the number one pick, and they took Ben Simmons. The Lakers had the number two pick, and they took Brandon Ingram. The Celtics had the number three pick,
Jaylen Brown.
And they picked Jaylen Brown. That was Danny Ainge.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Ainge, I was reading a lot about this, the former GM, Brad Stevens, was the head coach under Danny Ainge. Now he's the basketball operations guy, present guy. So he put a lot of this roster together with the Porzingis and that kind of stuff. But you want to talk about the process? The process is not falling for a fraudulent house of cards like Ben Simmons. And then you get Jaylen Brown third in the draft. The process is, I don't have it here in front of me, look and see how Brad Stevens acquired all of these pieces.
I don't think any of them are their picks, too. I think
Correct.
They're all somebody else's.
Correct, to go along with Brown and Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
It's an unbelievable process. So while Joel Embiid, who is a revolutionary kind of player, I've talked a lot about he and Nikola Jokic, you know, really kind of are very different kinds of players throughout history. Hey, they whiffed badly on Ben Simmons. Then they tried the James Harden experiment and all that stuff. You know, what the Celtics are is what the Sixers tried to be.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. The Sixers have paid their dues. They need to get lucky here soon. They've been number one overall picks. They kind of, I mean, Simmons at the time didn't look like the worst pick, but, you know, he just kind of fell flat with injuries, and then eventually his mental stuff went crazy. But Markelle Fultz, too, he's not terrible, but not number one pick overall.
He got broken and came in with a broken shot. Yeah. Caller number two, Celtics fan, what did I tell you the Celtics were going to do last night?
You were right on target, Corey. I'm glad you were right.
Look, I'm wrong sometimes, and I will admit it. I felt 90%+ certain of what was going to happen last night. I know you're a fan, and fans want to be cautious and nervous and full of anxiety and everything, but taking a step back now, even if you weren't a Celtics fan, wasn't it pretty easy to predict what was going to happen last night?
I think if I wasn't a fan, I would have thought I would have taken the Celtics and thought they're gonna kick their butt. But when you're this close to it and it's been so long,
yes.
Because you know what I was worried about? I thought they would take their foot off the gas and like they've done other games.
Not in a clinching game. Never. See, this is. I'm telling you, man. I, if I ever had this kind of money, if I could put $10,000 on that game last night. If I could have put $100,000, I was so certain. In clinching games, especially in a 3-1 situation where game six would have been back in Dallas, there is no way in the world you weren't going to get a 1,000,000,000% effort from the Celtics last night. And there was no way in the world you were going to get 100% from the Mavs once they got down. That was the perfect storm of ass-kicking right there. There was no way you were going to have a close game because the Celtics are so vastly superior to the Mavs, and there was no way they were going to mess around and have the threat of having to go back to Dallas.
Yeah, and everybody stepped up. I just was amazed. Everybody came to play, and it was just like a tidal wave. They went at one point, I got a little nervous, they missed three shots in a row. I think that's the most shots they missed in a row, and then I think somebody came down and hit a jump shot, and they closed the door again and then ran off like 10 points.
Let me see. I don't remember this, but Rob texted me and said to look up game six of the 2008 NBA Finals. You remember that by any chance, the clinching game over the Lakers? This is exactly what I'm talking about. You remember the score of that game?
No, you don't remind me.
131-92.
Whoa.
That's what you get. Now, game five, Lakers won by five. Game four, Celtics won by six. When you get into clinching games in the NBA Finals with a home team, I don't have the time to go back through the history of it, but I got to think that those have to be some of the surest cover the point spread bets that there are in sports.
Yeah, but remember, they lost at home game seven a couple years ago, or was that last year?
But I'm talking about game seven. I'm not talking about game seven.
Okay.
I'm talking about when one team is clearly better and they've got a chance to step on there. Once you get to game seven, never put any money on game seven, ever. or away. Because at 3-3, look, if the Mavs were at 3-3 coming back to Boston in game seven,
all the momentum.
I would say the Mavs could win the damn thing.
Yeah, I mean, you're rattling off four wins right now.
But down 3-0 and then down 3-1, even with their 38-point win, it's just – this is from someone who has lost way too many sports bets in my life, pal. And I've won many, many, and I've lost many – probably not as many, but I've lost more money. So when you get in those kinds of situations when you've got money on games, you just tend to recognize the trends, you know what I'm saying? And the trend in a closeout game is this. People quit. They quit. They just quit. And while the one team that's leading, they'll keep their starters in. What'd they pull Doncic and Kyrie yesterday with 4 minutes to go?
So you've
got to think. You if you're betting on a game, and this is the way my mind works, and Rob can attest to this because he's texting me all the time. If you're betting on a game, you've got to think, what's the last 4 or 5 minutes going to look like? And my whole thought process last night was the last 4 or 5 minutes are not going to be close. There's no reason for Doncic and Irving to still be giving 100%, and therefore you get a blowout. That's kind of the sports better mindset of, even though I had no money on the game, because I haven't made a bet in like 2 years, which I'm very, very proud of. But that's what I was thinking watching the game, or going into the game, that there was no way that the Celtics were even going to allow that to be close.
Yeah. Well, I wish I had $10,000 to put on it today.
Yeah, right. Let's go back and take it. I know a guy that he betted up to Celtics minus 10. He got plus 200. So he doubled it. Now, he asked me about it yesterday. I said, you know what? That's a little dangerous. I picked 14. I said, that's a little dangerous because what if it's 14 with 40 seconds to go and somebody hits a three and then somebody throws in a layup and it's nine? That's when you've lost a lot of sports bets and you pull losses out of wins like that. You always worry about that. Because in the NBA, I don't know if you know this, in the NBA, do you know what the magic number on the line is in the NBA?
Oh, boy.
Seven.
Four?
Seven.
Oh, seven.
If it's a 7-point game, you are still playing. If it's a 7-point game, really with any amount of time left, 30 seconds left. If it's a 7-point game, the sports better mindset is, and from the team's, they still think they can get a win because you can call timeout, advance the ball to half court, throw it in 3 seconds, you got a three. Now it's a 4-point. So these are all the way things play out from a trend standpoint. And that line of 6.5, that's what I was talking about last night. There's just no way the Celtics were going to allow it to be 7. Because at 7, you do still have a game.
Yeah, well, who scored? Miller scored, what, 9 points in 30 seconds?
T-Mac.
Yeah. Reggie Miller did one time, too. He hit 3. Rodney Rogers. You remember that dude, Rodney Rogers? He hit 3 threes in like 9 seconds or something, or 12 seconds or something.
I don't even remember his name.
He played for the Nuggets. This was like 25 years ago or so. Now Reggie did it because he was and Tracy McGrady
Tracy
did.
Tracy McGrady was 13 scored, and 33 seconds.
He scored 13. Yeah,
over the Rockets against Yao Ming. I mean,
that was a regular season game though.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Reggie Miller did it in a playoff game, maybe against the Pistons. That's why his is famous. But all right, buddy, appreciate the call, man. Congratulations.
Okay.
Hey, Nebraska man's up next. I got to take a break. We're way over for a break here.
If you thought the fireworks were over after the 4th, you're mistaken. J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars has a red-hot deal on cigars July 5th and 6th during their After the 4th event at both their Chambersburg and Alexandria locations. Stock up on Drew Estate, Arturo Fuente, Oliva, and many more. And when you shop at J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, don't forget the swag like ashtrays, lighters, and much more. Don't miss the After the 4th event July 5th and 6th at both locations of J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, Alexandria and Chambersburg. J.M. Boswell, come for the deals. Stay for the smoke.
It's a grand slam.
Everyone loves a grand slam, and now you can score one with Kepner's Grandview Meats. Stop in at Kepner's Grandview Meats from now until the end of the curve season and register for the Grandview Grand Slam contest. If your name is called out during WRTA mornings and a grand slam is hit, you win a $100 gift certificate from Kepner's Grandview Meats, the home of quality meats, hot and cold subs, and more. Stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Phoenix Domus Rise Above Halfway House offers residential treatment for adult males affected by drug or alcohol addiction. Their facility is located in the Fairview Hills section of Altoona and is licensed to house 16 adult male residents who are seeking halfway house treatment services. Phoenix Domus is actively looking for referrals. Email referrals at phoenixdomus.com or call 814-515-2055. Rise above the grips of addiction. Let Phoenix Domus Rise Above Halfway House help.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn Mowers and Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much. Pacificos. Bread and rolls, Pacificos. Bread and rolls, Pacificos. Pacificos. Bread and rolls, Pacificos. Bread and rolls, Pacificos. Bread and rolls, Pacificos.
If you're a customer of Davidson Snacks Outlet, stand by for an important announcement. Davidson Snacks Outlet has moved to a new location. The folks at Davidson Snacks Outlet feel blessed to watch their business become a success, and they want to thank their employees and you. Davidson Snacks Outlet's new location is 16843 Dunnings Highway in Duncansville. It's the same great variety of your favorite snacks and great service now at a new location. 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville. Davidson Snacks Outlet.
Hi, welcome back. Hey, Nebraska man, sorry I had to put you on hold there. We were way over for a break. What do you think about the Celtics, man? How good are they?
Well, they're good. their bench could probably start 75% of any team in the NBA. They were well coached last night. They came to play. Even though the big guy was in for 10 minutes, he sort of like set a stage there. And Tatum and they came to play last night. They had their mission, and they weren't going to let it. They weren't going to let it go to Game 6.
You listen to the show a lot. You're our number one most frequent caller. It's been inspiring to me, and I've been really happy and thankful that we've had a lot of people calling in and talking about the NBA over the last month. You listen every day, you call almost every day, pretty much every day. Does it surprise you? Because look, I would talk more NBA, and I'll talk college basketball during the tournament, but does it surprise you we had as much interest in the NBA over the last, say, 6 weeks?
A little bit yes, a little bit no. The teams that were in it, you know, the young teams, you know, like Sacramento, Minnesota, making a couple upsets here and there, not seeing the Warriors, you know, it made it interesting. But I'll tell you what, you know, I told you this at the beginning of the series. There are two guys can't beat five. There's no way in God's earth.
Yeah.
They can't beat five guys.
And yesterday it was one guy because Kyrie did not show up at all.
Yeah, right. I got a question here for you, Corey. Now that you said, is the Celtics the greatest team of all time?
No, I mean, could they end up winning several here? That's really what I want to get at. This was a tremendous team. I'm not saying they're the best of all time, but they were a very good team. They all did it together.
Well, they had the sports shows this morning. I don't know if you knew this or not, but you know the LA Lakers have been to 32 finals, and the Celtics have been to 23.
Wow, and the Celtics are 18-5, and the Lakers are what, 17-15?
Yes, and they were making a case today that the Celtics and were better than the Lakers, but you know you've been there 32 times compared to 23. I don't know if the Celtics are better. But, you know, they could be good. They could be head-to-head.
Well, it's an interest. See, it just depends on your criteria, Nathan. I think this is a good point. If you've gotten there 32 times, but you've only won 17, is that better than getting there 23 times but winning 18?
This is the Jordan LeBron base.
Yeah, right.
Jordan's been there. He's 6-for-6. And then LeBron, he's been there, what, 11 times?
With a bunch of bumps.
Yeah. So I think, personally, if you get there 32 times, it's more impressive than getting there 23.
Okay, now, the difference, though, and you don't necessarily know this as young as you, the West used to be crap, like absolute dog crap, kind of like the East has been for most of probably your life. Now, the East is pretty good now. The East is, with the Bucks, the Sixers, there's some challenges in the East now. But really, for the last 15 years, the East has been absolute garbage. Well, that's the way the West used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Other than maybe, you know, Karl Malone and Stockton with the Jazz. The West, the Lakers never had a tremendous challenge in the West. While in the East, you've got the Celtics, the Pistons, and the Bulls all shooting it out. So I guess for me, Nebraska, man, I'm glad you pointed out, to me, 18 out of 23, given what the Celtics have had to go through, is probably more impressive than 17 out of 32, when a lot of years the Lakers were just going to run through everybody in the West.
Yeah, right. Hey, I'll tell you what, you know, it was a good series. Even they said this morning on SportsCenter and on Wake Up and that NBA this year and NBA watching basketball in the playoffs is more audience watched it this year than any years combined.
Yeah, it's better basketball than that stuff 20 years ago with Iverson and that stuff. Thanks for the call, man. Before we take a break, I want to switch gears here for just a minute because this story just came out today and it caught my ear. We're going to talk some Drew Aller here in a little bit in our last segment, but ESPN has a story up about baseball and the umpiring system that they're going to use. And Nathan, this is always fascinating to me because I think Major League Baseball umpires are horrendous. I think that the way baseball is played, when you miss 10% of the calls of your most basic calls in the sport, balls and strikes, you got to figure out a better way to do it. And so we've got this automated umping system that everybody is going to has thought was going to come in. But this story today on ESPN is basically saying they're going to stick at some point. AAA is going to adopt this fully, and this is probably the system that's going to happen in Major League Baseball in another year or two. They're not going to go to the full automated route. It looks like they're still going to have an umpire back there making every call, but then batters and pitchers can challenge a set number of calls like in the NFL. Now, I've always thought that baseball would and should go to the full automated system. That's everything I've heard for the last 10 years. It doesn't look like they're going to go to the full automated system.
The only problem I have with this, I think it's going to significantly slow the game down because I think we're going to have a lot of challenges.
And yeah, but it can go quick.
And if it can go quick, if they can just tell, you know, the umpire with an earpiece.
Well, you see it. You watch a game. You see the strike zones. Yeah. I mean, if I'm Bryce Harper and I take a 2-2 pitch for strike three and I look at the ump and call, I would think the ump will know, as long as the technology's working. Mm-hmm. The ump will know in less than 2 seconds.
And that's fair. I don't mind this, and I like it. I think it's very good. I think it takes out some of the horrendous calls, because did it say how many set challenges they have?
So,
like three or something?
Basically, it's looking like 2 to 3 challenges per game for each team.
It should be 2 to 3 misses, I think.
But if you get it right, you don't lose your challenge.
Fair, that's
so
100% fair.
You can have an unlimited number if you're getting them right.
Yeah.
What I don't like about it is if you miss your first 2 or 3, and then there's a gigantic, egregious call in the ninth inning. You know, I was always under the assumption that, and this may happen, but it does look like the first step maybe for Major League Baseball is going to be the umpires are still going to be calling games. I think at some point we are probably going to see the full automated system. I just don't know the baseball, which is very, very, very slow to change. Maybe they don't want to just jump into the deep end of the ocean right away. But if you miss a couple calls, look, if you miss a call in the second inning, it's every bit as important as the eighth inning. That's just the way baseball goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe even more so, because in the eighth inning, you have very little time left. So I don't want to see situations where players are holding on to these challenges till the eighth inning because they're afraid to lose them.
I guess you got to be confident. If you think for sure it's a strike or if you think for sure it's a ball, you got to, you know, question the umpire. I guess you got to be 100% certain.
You better be, and it's all on you.
It's on
hitter.
You. It's on you.
So because you can't ask your manager. That's, I guess. I mean, the only way this would work quickly is if the hitter or the pitcher immediately is granted the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
What if the coach doesn't want a challenge?
I guess they're out of luck there. They would need to figure some stuff out. They're gonna have to tweak it a little bit, but I don't mind. I think it's a good step forward.
Yeah, they got to do something. Again, the basic play in baseball is a ball or strike. And if you're a hitter and I miss the first call and it's a ball, but I call it a strike, instead of a 1-0 count, when I don't have these numbers exactly in front of me, in a 1-0 count, your batting average historically might be something like 360 in a 1-0 count. In an 0-1 count, might be 260.
Mm-hmm.
that's 100 points.
Yeah.
And you miss a 1-1 count, your batting average in a 2-1 count versus a 1-2 count is gigantic. It might be 40 to 70 points difference. So I've always had an issue with umpires, and that's why I've been a champion of getting the automated ball and strike system. But it looks like they're going to go to this kind of partial system. So if you're interested in that, there is a good story on ESPN.com that breaks all that down. We're going to have a great discussion on Drew Aller. Could Drew Aller, who has accomplished very little in college football, could he potentially be the number one overall pick in next year's draft? All right, we'll get into it after this.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
If you thought the fireworks were over after the 4th, you're mistaken. J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars has a red-hot deal on cigars July 5th and 6th during their After the 4th event at both their Chambersburg and Alexandria locations. Stock up on Drew Estate, Arturo Fuente, Oliva, and many more. And when you shop at J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, don't forget the swag like ashtrays, lighters, and much more. Don't miss the After the 4th event July 5th and 6th at both locations of J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, Alexandria and Chambersburg. J.M. Boswell, come for the deals. Stay for the smoke.
Hank FM.
All right, welcome back. So yesterday there was a person associated with college football, one of the senior bowl games, one of the off-season bowl games, tweeted out the possibility that Drew Aller should deserve some consideration for the number one pick in next year's draft. So we've got intern Nathan here with us. I want to pick your brain on this because I think Nathan and I probably see Drew Aller a lot differently. So I want to kind of go down the path here of what has Drew Aller done to deserve any of the praise and hype that he gets versus what could Drew Aller still do this season to then start to live up to the hype and praise that he gets. See what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. So I think what Drew Aller has done that, you know, a lot of scouts will like is he is very, he can read a defense and he's not make mistakes too often. I think it's a little bit to his detriment because I think he has trouble sometimes, you know, letting it go and really trying to make a play. But he's not going to force stuff in there typically. I think he only had, what, two interceptions all year last year, one in the regular season and then one in the bowl game. So he can make good decisions. He's very he can read a defense, I think, pretty well. And then I think that's the problem with him is he's not a big playmaker, at least right now. He hasn't made a big play or at least many of them in big games. And I think Penn State maybe didn't have the weapons last year to do that. But, you know, still, if you're a great quarterback, you're going to find a way to make a big play. He's a little bit slow, too. He's not, you know, the fastest guy on the field, but, you know, I don't think it's nothing new. I think a lot of, you know, great NFL quarterbacks don't have elite speed. So could he be a number one pick? I think he maybe has, you know, the tangibles, too, but I don't know if he is going to do it.
There's two discussions here. The second one, which we'll get to in a bit, is how much of this do we place on Drew Aller? Okay. Blame, praise, whatever. Because of the bad wide receiver situation last year. The first discussion is where you and I will disagree, probably pretty fundamental. I don't think he had a real good year at all.
Okay.
25 touchdowns and two interceptions is a completely meaningless stat to me because he didn't attempt to do much of anything. And yes, I will always be associated with the guy that said, hey, chuck it deep to James Franklin, which I did not say. I said, do you need to take some chances down the field? This is early in the season. They didn't even try. They weren't practicing it. You can say they weren't showing it for other teams, but they weren't practicing it with Drew Aller. I didn't say chuck it deep. I said, give Drew a chance to let the receivers make a play. He never did that last year at all. The entire year. he didn't trust his receivers to make a play. So, again, we'll get to the second part in a bit. Is that his fault, or was he told a billion times not to because the receivers are not any good? But my issue with Drew, with regards to the NFL, I'm talking specifically about the NFL. You can't wait for a receiver to get open in the NFL.
You have to anticipate it.
You have to anticipate it and throw the guy open. I'm not sure, and look, I don't want to make some crazy hyperbolic statement that he never did it. I don't recall Drew Aller throwing guys open last year. I recall Drew Aller, when guys were perfectly open, him putting the ball in the money. Now, he did only complete 59.9%, and that's not great. But I don't recall Drew leading a guy over the middle who's a half step behind a linebacker when he lets go of the ball and he throws it and he's two steps in front of the linebacker. That's an NFL throw. Those are the throws you have to make. My buddy Rob called in earlier about Brett Favre, the gunslinger. Those were the throws that Brett Favre would make. Drew, his gigantic detriment to me is if a guy's not open, you have to help him get open with the throw. I really only saw him ever throw the ball last year. Safe throws on the out. Lots of safe throws. Never the middle of the field. Never, ever, ever deep down the field over the middle. He made throws last year that were not NFL throws. He made college safe throws.
Definitely, yeah. He relied on his tight ends. You know, he didn't maybe throw it up top a lot of times, especially against a team like Ohio State, like Michigan, like Ole Miss, these better teams and better rosters. He seemed to struggle a little more, but it's his first year starting. That's the reason I'm going to give him a little bit of leeway. I don't even know if Drew Aller is honestly going to come out this year. He might stick with another year at Penn State.
But let's go under the assumption, for this fun discussion, it's June, that he does come out after this year.
Okay.
Let's say he has a good year. Mm-hmm. If he throws for 3,000 yards, 27, I want him to throw some more interceptions, frankly, just because that'll mean that he's trying to do more.
Yeah.
27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. 29 touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
Okay.
That's a pretty good year. 3,000. He's got to get the completion percentage up somewhere 60.
Probably 65 to 70.
Well, 62, 63 at least.
Okay.
If he does all that, why would he come back? And so if he does leave, we're getting into the projection then for the NFL.
Okay.
So what do we need to see within that 30 touchdowns and 7 interceptions that he can do what I just said, that he can make NFL throws and throw people open?
I think he needs to anticipate his receivers a little better. I think that's a big problem with him, is he is not able, or he hasn't maybe shown that he is able, like you were saying, to, you know, place the ball whenever a guy's a step behind and, you know, anticipate them being there. I think if he can do that, you know, that would raise his draft stock significantly. I think if he can use his legs a little more. I think he was kind of a statue back there last year for the most part. I mean, I saw him in person too. He did not look like Lamar Jackson out there. He was looking like Tom Brady, a little bit slow out there, not moving great. But if he can, you know, maybe move out of the pocket, like you said, anticipate the throws, it will definitely help him out and maybe shoot him up the draft boards into the top 10, maybe even number one.
Ole Miss Peach Bowl completed 48.7%. Michigan State, 42-0 win. They were terrible. He completed 65.4%. Rutgers, 46.2%. That was only 13 throws. That really. Michigan, 45.5%, 70 yards. One of the worst passing games ever by a Penn State quarterback.
That was horrendous.
At Ohio State, one of the worst passing games ever by a Penn State quarterback. 42.9%. He did throw for 191 yards, led that late touchdown, 18 for 42. He was absolutely horrific for 90-plus percent of that game. I was there in Columbus. So against Ohio State and Michigan, he looked absolutely terrible. And I mean absolutely terrible. A guy that I'd rather see Bo Prabula playing than that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are the two defenses you gotta prove it against.
So how much of it's his fault? That's the discussion, okay? I believe they had the number one defense in the country in terms of yards allowed per game during the regular season. They all knew the wide receivers were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you would never get James Franklin to admit this. You would never get Mike Yurcich to admit this. You'd never get any. I think they knew their wide receiver situation was a complete and utter disaster.
It was terrible.
So, I believe it was drilled into Drew Aller repeatedly. Don't turn the ball over. Don't turn the ball over. use our running game, use our offensive line. We've got the great defense. Early in the year, remember James bragged so much about their time of possession, being huge. So is it Drew Aller's fault that he couldn't throw a guy open when he's probably been told 50,000 times, don't even worry about it. Don't even think about that throw. There's no reason to even bother with that throw. So will that be the case this year? If the defense isn't quite as good this year, will Drew be allowed to make those kinds of throws? Because, again, I'll harp back on this again. Those are the throws you have to make in the NFL. And I don't really think he even attempted very many of those types of throws.
I 100% agree with you. I don't think they gave him the leash that he should have. I think he should have, been gunslinging it. I mean,
that would have been fun to see.
It would have been fun to see. Again, because he's going to make mistakes. Brett Favre threw the most interceptions, I think, in NFL history. But he also is widely considered one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history. That just happens. You throw interceptions over time. You learn from the mistakes. Now, you can't do it in a crucial spot. That's when you'll get criticized and ridiculed. But, I mean, if you're doing this in the first quarter and you just make a silly play, you can look at the film, say, hey, listen, I know if they shade or something like that in zone coverage or stuff like that, you can say, okay, well, now I know that, if I see the same look, I'm not going to throw that pass again, Then during the week they can implement that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's...
And I'm not advocating for just chucking the ball deep. That was never...
You can't win games like that.
That was never the point of it. The point of it was get him some work doing it so that when you face these better teams, he had some experience doing it because he was lousy throwing the ball
deep. You got to do that against the Delawares and the Indianas and stuff like
that. At least try it. They never tried it.
Absolutely.
So the issue for me then is... I remember being at Northwestern. There was a specific play where a guy, it might have been KLS, broke open down the middle. And if Drew sees him, he's got an easy touchdown. He looks to his left. So again, how much of this is Drew's fault versus how much of this is just the fact that he was told, you don't even have to worry about the middle. Just don't even bother with it. Because when I'm watching the game, I'm like, how did he not see that guy? Mm-hmm. We all in the press box with our eye in the sky, we all saw it. So how does he not see it? And if he's not seeing that and he's not making those kinds of throws, I'll be perfectly honest with you. He's not a top third or fourth round draft pick for me, let alone number one. I'm talking about today.
Okay.
Now, after four or five, six games, if he shows some... No, I'm talking about what he showed last year. This is all we do in sports. We hype... He got 6'5", 243. We hype these people so much before they've accomplished... I mean, the 25-2 looks great. I just dismiss a lot of that. I think he's a third, fourth round pick. So that not what you're already seeing these people. Oh, first round, top five. I until he shows more, and a willingness and an ability to do more kinds of things, I just scoff at these kinds of things.
I think right now, if he was in the NFL draft, I think he'd be a second-round pick. I don't think he's a first-round quite yet because I don't think he showed it.
I think
it
that's probably reasonable. He'd second be second-round based just on he's 6'5", 243, and he's got the cannon arm.
Yeah,
He'll go to the combine. Mm-hmm. He's extremely smart. He is extremely humble. He is a tremendous person to be around. I've interviewed him dozens of times. Really good guy. He will wow everybody at the combine. I'm sure he'll be able to do all the recognition, everything, recalling playbooks and all the things they ask a quarterback. I'm not sure what his measurements are all going to – or testing numbers are going to be. But he will wow people at the combine. But you know who else did that? Christian Hackenberg. Mm-hmm. And they took him in the second round. And that's one of the biggest busts in recent draft history.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be all about this year. If he can show it out there – this guy's going to be one of the most hyped prospects in a while.
He will.
So
if he and the last Penn State quarterback drafted in the first round was Kerry Collins, and if Drew, look, I will at least keep open the possibility that if Drew comes out and shows these kinds of things this year, absolutely he can get in the first round because he's got all the rest of. Mm-hmm. But if they're going to go out there and rely on their running game and rely on the defense and because. We don't know that Trey Wallace is going to be very good. We don't know that Julian Fleming is going to be all that. So if they dumb it down again like they did last year, I think if you're an NFL team taking him in the first round and he hasn't shown anything, he hasn't shown the ability to throw guys open yet, you're taking a major, major gamble there.
I don't think that will. I think they're going to play a different style of offense this year. I think they're going to utilize the run game, but I think that passing game is going to be a little bit better this year. So we'll see.
I love it. I love offense. I hope you're right. I never said, for the record, chuck it deep. I said give him a chance to throw it deep. It's very,
watch the clip.
It's very, very different.
If you thought the fireworks were over after the 4th, you're mistaken. J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars has a red-hot deal on cigars July 5th and 6th during their After the 4th event at both their Chambersburg and Alexandria locations. Stock up on Drew Estate, Arturo Fuente, Oliva, and many more. And when you shop at J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, don't forget the swag like ashtrays, lighters, and much more. Don't miss the After the 4th event July 5th and 6th at both locations of J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, Alexandria and Chambersburg. J.M. Boswell, come for the deals. Stay for the smoke.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
At Shoe Fly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com. Shoe Fly. Your feet will thank you.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Recently at JMP Auto Mart, an SUV that was in one of the dealership's garages caught fire. Thankfully, no one was injured as the fire occurred during evening hours when they weren't open. The vehicle, however, was a total loss. JMP Auto Mart would like to thank nearby neighbors, the Altoona Police, and fire departments for their quick action during this occurrence, and they want to assure you that they're open for business as usual. Come check out their large selection of cars, trucks, and SUVs. JMP Auto Mart, 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona. They started 65 years ago, and they're still open.
All right, I want to thank our presenting sponsor, J.M. Boswell's, for all their support of our show. Stop by there, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. Clarkster's been waiting for a while. I skipped topics and went straight into from baseball to the Penn State stuff. I got a minute to go, man. I appreciate you hanging on. What you got, pal?
Well, this is Gale Sayers. I'm third, but I think I'm last today.
You're caller number 3. That's right, yep.
Anyway, I'm a bit confused on the eye in the sky thing with baseball. Is the ump going to call balls and strikes?
Yes. The ump's still going to be in charge of balls and strikes, but you get challenges. So as opposed to the computer just calling every play, which is kind of what we thought it'd be, the ump is still going to be back there making every call.
Well, they're just allowing you to challenge
balls. They're just allowing you to challenge balls and strikes, yep.
Okay. And the other thing, real quick, last year was the year to go deep with Aller because you had the defense to rely upon.
That's exactly right. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Thanks, Nathan.
Take care.
Hank FM, WKMC, Roaring Spring, Altoona. Hank is WKMC.